I, even though I can't sing, I want to go on tour with you because you have all these fun field trips that you are doing with your tour. Can you just talk about where these ideas come from? And I mean, is it all part of just building the camaraderie or?
Yeah, a little bit. The first one probably stems from having seen the Avengers and thought it was as good as it could be. And I was asking around people on the tour if they'd seen it, and a lot of them said, no, I want to go see it. I haven't seen it yet. And I just said, well, let's just see if there's a theater around here that'll let us go in and pay them some upfront money and eat a bunch of popcorn all together. You know, Brooks and Dunn did that with me a little bit when I was opening for them. They would go find a place or something. Reba did too. Reba would go and rent out a restaurant, have a dinner after the show. But we've been thinking about it, and there's so many. I have some things in the back of my mind that I think would be fun to take all the artists and crew to do. We did bowling a week or two ago, and that was funny because everybody talks a good game. Until they really do it. And I even took bowling in high school. That was an elective class, the gym class. And I stunk.
You know, Brad, I ran into some people that have this cute little dog named Brad Paisley. And I wanted to know a little bit about what the craziest thing some of your fans have done. Just over the top stuff.
Tattoo of your face. On a leg. Although that, the woman that did that is very sane, from what I can tell. Doesn't seem like it, but truthfully, she is the nicest person you'd ever want to meet. But she walks around with my face, staring that way, off my ankle. You know, that. Luckily, the artist was really good. I mean, it looked just like an 8x10 to me. That's, you know, anytime a fan does something like that where they're willing to permanently alter their body, all for your music or whatever, is that's the ultimate sacrifice. Anybody who's willing to go get hepatitis, for me, that's really nice.
Hunter, we've seen little videos of you working on the new record. It's really intriguing. You have a different approach this time and location. What can you tell us about how it's going?
It's, as of like this week, I'm busting at the seams for people to hear it. I finally am at that point. This is a different process for me. The way that Nashville records are done normally is artists will use either some combination of studio musicians and some of their band members or special guests or whatever, go to a studio and use a couple of really talented mix engineers and people that we have in this town and quickly do a record and find songs, write songs, and all that. In my case this time, I felt like I really needed to shake it up. So what we've done is took my guest house on my farm, and I went out there and I looked around at it, and I said, okay, how quickly could we make this a studio? Well, within 2 weeks, we cut the first song. Myself and a contractor took a room, built it around with some walls, and rocked an entire wall for drums so that there would be a reflective surface. Because I had a bunch of that left over from my other house when I built it. The next thing you know, we're writing in it, recording in it. I'm there till 2 a.m., get back up with the kids in the morning and go straight back down and go to work. And I was as nervous as I've ever been when we started. I didn't know what it would sound like. I didn't know what to do. And I cannot believe what I've come up with already. Really, I'm really floored by it, and I think it's all because there really isn't the same pressures when you don't own the place you're recording. When it's a place, when you don't own it, you're at the mercy of the time that you're paying for. You better have your ducks in a row before you get in there. In my case, we get to go in there and act like idiots. And sometimes that pays big dividends, and sometimes it doesn't, but luckily it didn't cost anything. But it doesn't. So yeah, I'm really happy with it now. Getting somewhere.
I'm just wondering, you've kind of reached this point in your life where it almost seems like you would have to think up really absurd dreams to put on your bucket list because you got to be on South Park, you got to play at Pixar, you've been in a video and become friends with William Shatner, you were at the Corvette plant. What is there left that you just dreamt up, or are there things that you're thinking, maybe somehow I can make that happen?
You know, it's interesting. I'm more or less really focused right now on this record. And I'm thinking musically as much as anything. And it's, for me, really rewarding to focus almost entirely on songwriting and production and to be thinking about where that needs to go. It's kind of refreshing that, you know, I haven't had a song on the radio for a couple of months. And in that sense, it's kind of nice to know that whatever is bubbling right now is the next thing I'll hand them. And there's both a pressure and a freedom in that. And so I'm really more thinking about that. I'm thinking about things like, what can I do that's unique that I've never done musically? And as far as like other, you know, bucket list things, I don't know. You're right. I've met so many of my heroes so far. I don't, you know, I'm trying to think if there's any science fiction left. I went to the Battlestar Galactica set. I'm friends with Captain Kirk. Let's see. I've met George Lucas. Filmed a video at Skywalker Ranch. So as far as that goes, you know, I don't know. Avatar, I guess. I could paint myself blue. No, I don't know. You're right. I have to kind of think up new things. I don't know what they are, though.
Caitlin?
Hey,
Brad.
I'm here.
Hey.
What does CBay Music Fest mean to you personally, and why do you think it's important to both artists and fans who travel here from all over the world?
Well, it's unique. It means a lot to me because this is the first place I got positive confirmation that I was going to have a career. And that was when it was still called Fanfare. I was a new artist who had a song in the 40s, I think, maybe the 20s if I was lucky, called Who Needs Pictures, that was struggling up the chart. And I sang a new song in front of the grandstand audience called He Didn't Have to Be, that, having never heard it, the entire audience stood up and gave me a standing ovation in the middle of like a 100-degree day, which is usually the weather this week. And I started crying, and the head of my record label started crying. And basically, they just said, you just floored us. And as an artist, when you write a song and you stand up in front of an audience, that's the absolute ultimate response that you could have. Someone who's never heard it stands up. And so, I mean, that was the moment I thought, I think I'm going to be okay.